are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 25th day of October, 2021, and we have a special blow them up, blow them out, have yourself a Built Bar, and have yourself some fun World Series preview. That's right. We have the World Series that everybody wanted to see, which is the Atlanta Braves versus your Houston Astros. And I am not going to be doing the heavy lifting. I am merely a host today because today, can you believe it? Do you believe in miracles? I am bringing on board from Locked On Astros, H-Town Wheelhouse, my dear friend. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Sully. Thanks for having us on. We are back in our third World Series in the last five seasons, and it is a great time. It is a great time.
Well, when you say us, there's only one. Oh, wait, no, there's another. That would be Eric Heisman. There he is, also from Locked On Astros. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to renew this rivalry we had back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Chris Burke, an 18-inning game that we all remember to this day.
As do I. But you know what? This feels a little unfair. Yes, I grew up in New England. Yes, the Braves were originally a Boston team, but the Bean Eaters are long gone. Who could we get to represent the Braves? Hey, it's Jake Mastroianni of Locked On Braves. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing great. So thanks for having me on. And we're starting this thing off wrong, talking about Chris Burke and extra innings right now. That is not what Braves fans want to hear.
No, Braves fans want to hear about Walt Weiss stopping a ground ball hit by Tony Eusebio. Ladies and gentlemen, I pulled that out from memory, that the Astros look like they're on the verge of taking a stunning 2-1 lead against the Atlanta Braves in 1999 that would have done the impossible, and that is actually win a postseason series in the Astrodome, something that never happened, never happened. They had to go to Towels Hill to finally see a playoff series victory. But guess what, folks? We're done with that. We're done talking about that. The first ever Astros postseason victory, if I'm not mistaken, was the 2004 National League Division Series against
The Braves, yeah. Hey, by the way, in that game, in that 1999 game, who got the winning hit for the Braves? Do you know?
Let's see if I can remember. Was it, I'm going to say Brian Jordan.
Yes, it was a double in the 12th inning.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow. from memory. From memory. Ask me where my car keys are. No idea. But I could tell you about Tony Eusebio's grounder up the middle in a game in Houston against Houston Atlanta. I'm neither a Brave nor an Astros fan, which makes me the ideal person to talk about this. So let's go through this. The Astros beat the Red Sox. The Red Sox bats, let me put it this way. They hit three grand slams in two games and then got three hits in the last game. They had as many runs in the final three games as they hit grand slams in those 2 days. Tough to win a series like that, and you have to give the Astros all the credit in the world for that in the most unlikely place, which was their pitching staff. Their starting staff turned out some great starts, and their bullpen was absolutely unhittable. That's what we have going into the World Series now.
So I think the Houston Astros, I look at this team compared to the 19 team and the 17 team and the 05 and 04 team, and this team has done more to get to where they are. They have fought more adversity. I don't know that this is the most talented World Series team, but I think it is the most battle-tested. And I think those two games where the Red Sox absolutely pummeled the Astros is a good thing. Adversity in baseball is a good thing. Framber and Luis throwing absolute stinkers of games was a good thing. And Brent Strom went back with his pitchers and said, okay, let's look at the Red Sox swinging. Let's look at what they do when you throw this pitch, when you throw that pitch. And they made adjustments. And JD Martinez, game recognized game, said that, said so. He was unhittable. And it was a great series. I really thought it was going to go to a full game, you know, 7-game series. But the Red Sox bats, like I said on the podcast, somebody took the Red Sox offense, threw it away in a basement, and we haven't seen it since then.
And don't forget about Martin Maldonado and Jake Odorizzi. After that second game against the Braves, the Red Sox, where they lost, they both stepped up and said, "Hey guys, we can't let this happen. We can't give up. Remember last year. Remember this time. We are a team that battles adversity, and we are always coming up on top most of the time. And so we can handle this. We have been here before. We are battle tested, like Brett said. And the team responded. And yeah, it wasn't all at once, but they did it slowly but surely. But Framber Valdez, that was the big key. Him going 8 innings where he did not even go, 5 batters or something?
They took him out in the second inning in his first start, yeah.
So that was a big key.
But you also got that great start from Luis Garcia in the clincher game. I mean, of all the big-name pitchers who've gone in this series, who are the two really quality starts that you get would be Valdez and Garcia. Go to Bet Online. And if you would put money on that, you would be able to afford a townhouse in Russian Hill in San Francisco right now. And I think that's how I judge wealth. But the fact of the matter is I do think that there's a symbiotic relationship. If you get a decent start, it helps the bullpen. Their bullpen was not worn to the teeth by the end of the series, and so they remained effective. I thought that once Lance McCullers went down, I thought it became an evenly matched series. I did pick the Astros in 6, but Framber Valdez picked up the mantle for McCullers.
Yeah, he did, and that was key. That's everybody in Houston was like, great. I mean, we've all known Verlander's not there, and then we've got Bregman back; he's healthy. But it was also the offense, picked things up. And we'll talk later on. Yordan Alvarez drove his car into an ALCS MVP.
Oh, he was a one-man wrecking crew. But do you know what? The Astros, actually, this is a little-known fact, are not in the World Series by themselves. The Atlanta Braves are also in the World Series. And the Braves beat the team that I thought was going to win the World Series. Not the Dodgers, but the Brewers. I thought that exactly what was going to happen between San Francisco and LA was going to happen, that they were going to have a 5-game series and they would be beaten, bruised, and battered. But I thought the Brewers starting pitching was going to carry them past Atlanta. I thought they were going to sweep them. And then they would catch a beleaguered team from California. As it turned out, that's what the Braves did. So, Jake, talk us through a little bit of how this team, which people are focusing on the 88 wins and they were a losing team at the trade deadline. But remember, after the trade deadline, this was one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, you're talking about battle-tested, and I know that's the theme for the Astros. I mean, this Braves team, I don't know how you can be any more battle-tested. They lost 2 of their top 4 hitters pretty early in the year. Ronald Acuña Jr., who I think was going to run away with the NL MVP. They lost Marcelo Ozuna really early in the year to legal issues, hasn't been back. They were hoping to get Mike Soroka back in April, maybe even May.
He was going to be their pitch?
No, he didn't pitch at all this year. He's their best starter. So, I mean, that's 3 of your best players, and you played a lot most of the year without any of them. And, credit to Alex Anthopoulos, at the trade deadline, they were like 5 games back, under 500, and he still made the move to go for it. And, a little luck in there too. Everybody he traded for, whether it's Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, they have all stepped up and been just great. Like, not even just good, they've all been great. That doesn't always happen that way. So you got to give them a lot of credit for that. And yeah, you talk about going into the postseason. I mean this is a team that got hot at the right time. I mean they were still under 500 in early August, so I mean they got hot at the right time. I think a lot of people underestimated their starting pitching coming into the postseason.
I did.
Yeah. Because they matched up right with the Brewers, and I covered the Brewers as well. They have the best, what I thought, or I still believe, was the best pitching in all of baseball. And the Braves went toe for toe with them starting pitching wise and just had enough offense to outscore them. All those games were close. But the Dodgers series, I mean, again, you talk about being battle tested. They go up 2-0, win those two games at home, blow game three in a huge momentum swing with Cody Bellinger hitting that three-run homer. And you thought, here we go again. They're going to blow another lead to the Dodgers. Dodgers are going to get over them. But they come back, fight back, win the next night. Then they get blown out the next night and come back and win it. So, I mean, this Braves team, I mean, they've been through it all this year. But they just have that mentality. They all talk about how much they love playing for each other. And you can see it in the way that they do fight for each other in that team.
All right, I'm going to say two things here, especially because I was watching it here in Los Angeles County amongst a lot of Dodger fans. I can't tell you how many Dodger fans were saying, well, we've got injuries. And I said, yeah, they don't have Acuña Jr.
Yeah.
Okay? They had to cut and paste. I played three games in the outfield for the Braves this year.
Yeah, I mean, we had Abraham Almonte starting in center field for a majority of the season with Guillermo Heredia. They tried to put Orlando Arce out there. I mean, it was really rough for a while.
But one of the great things about – I mean, I was talking about this on another podcast – was that – it just shows that you can't do something like who won the trade deadline. You can't evaluate that in July or August. You have to wait till now because the Braves won the trade deadline, that they acquired Peterson. They acquired Rosario for Pablo Sandoval. Yeah. You know, their entire outfield was playing for different teams in July. And so when people are saying, oh, the Dodgers won with Scherzer and Trey Turner, or the Mets won by picking up, who did they pick up? Was it Reyes? And, you know, all these stars that went around. No. The Braves won. The Braves won the trade deadline. And an intelligent thing that he did was he wasn't going for the splashy moves. He said, let's just make sure we have a ton of injuries. Let's make sure there's a major leaguer at every position.
Right.
And no. That's exactly what happened. And the Braves took advantage of the Mets' collapse, and then, you know, had played one of the best records in baseball after the trade deadline.
You know, I'm glad you guys are bringing that up because the Dodgers like gave away their top prospect for two frontline stars. I mean, who wouldn't want Trey Turner and Max Scherzer on your team for a World Series run? And I said when they made that trade, if they don't make the World Series and win it, that's a bust of a trade. And Eddie Rosario, if anybody had any pre-inclinations that he was going to turn out to be the NLCS MVP.
He was injured when the Braves
traded for him. Exactly. So it's like, you know, and that's why I think both these ball clubs are in it, because it's not about who has the most talent. It's about who's doing the most late. Like, what have you done for me lately? We saw the Nationals make that surprising run in 2019. Now, I don't think the Braves are as strong as that national team, but the Astros aren't taking the Braves lightly because they're in the World Series. They are the best team in the National League.
And that you were talking about talented Astros team. I think the 2019 team was the most talented one. I personally think that they had Brantley on that team. They had Gerrit Cole on that team. You know, they had the experience of the World Series under.
They had belt. Springer. They had all those
Springer,
guys.
Yeah, they had every. They were full. I mean, they made. There were some injuries here and there, but I think when I look at just the top to bottom of that team, it was pretty great. But you know, it's great to watch these games. I got to ask you guys this question about watching games. I want to do any of you find this scenario to be familiar? That you got one device that lets you catch the game live, another one lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, you got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. I want to tell you three guys and everyone else watching or listening, there's a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to get your TV together. Do you guys know what it's called?
DirecTV Stream.
DirecTV Stream. And yes, it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So can you watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. And that means no more juggling remotes. And you don't need to buy another device ever again. Ever. Ever. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. And guess what, folks? I got to tell you, this is compatible devices required and content varies by package. That's DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream. Okay. We're back to the podcast
here. Nice jingle. Yeah, almost as good as Buy Minin.
Yeah, well, they are not a sponsor. So let's take a look at some of the key matchups because this is an interesting matchup of teams, because these aren't the best teams from the regular season, and these may not even be the best teams that the Astros or Braves have put on the field this year. I personally think there is some evenly matched areas with their bullpens, I think, are similar. I think they both have lineups that can have score in bursts, and I think that they each have a couple of starting pitchers that are interesting. By the way, I don't know if the Astros fans are familiar with one of the Braves starting pitchers. His name is Charlie Morton. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Game one starter, Charlie Morton. Yeah.
By the way, this is the only time I'm bringing this up in this entire episode, but there will be a lot of people booing the Astros and saying, come on, Charlie Morton, I'm cheering you on because I hate the 2017 Astros, not realizing that Charlie Morton was the pitcher on the mound when they clinched the 2017 World Series. You boo uniforms, folks. That's all it is. You're booing laundry. And I swear to H-Town and Eric, that's the only reference I'm going to be making to that, because there's enough written, said about, and Astros Twitter already hates my guts. So back to the keys. Charlie Morton is starting game one for the Astros. No, with the Braves. He's starting with the Braves. Wouldn't that be weird? They trade for him right at the end.
Yeah, they trade for him.
He rips off, I'm still an Astro at heart.
That would be a game changer. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Did Morton pitched against the Astros last year with the Rays, right?
Yeah, yes. He got shelled.
He did get shelled. Okay.
Three innings. He was gone. We're not afraid of Charlie Morton. The Astros have Framber Valdez going game one.
Okay. That's a really good starting pitching matchup there. Who do you think has the edge? You know, it's almost like starting pitching almost doesn't matter anymore, which is kind of bums me out. But both teams having it. You've got Fried, Morton. You guys have Valdez. You have good starters on your team. It would be a little different if McCullers was pitching, but how do you think let's just talk about the pitching as a whole. How do you think the key matchups are and the key starts are?
I think the pitching has to be what carries the Braves in this series. The Astros are going to hit. I think the Braves will be able to score. I don't think they're really scared of the pitching, other than maybe just unfamiliarity with them. But I think, yeah, exactly. But I think, if the Braves are going to win this series, it's going to have to be behind their pitching and mostly their starting pitching. They're going to have to get deep outings from Morton, Fried, and Anderson, which it looks like how it's going to line up games one through three. You know, if they're getting those guys consistently into the fifth and sixth inning, you know, the bullpen has stepped up lately. That was probably the biggest weakness for the Braves coming into the postseason. But A.J. Minter, Tyler Matzek, Will Smith all looked really good, all from the left side. So that could be key with some of the Astros righties. The Braves really don't have a right-handed pitcher to come out of the bullpen right now, but their lefties can get out either side. That hasn't been a problem for them. But I do think if the Braves are going to win this series, it's going to be because of their pitching.
Now, H-Town and Eric, before you go on, I have to tell you that last night I was in a tavern in Santa Monica with a bunch of Dodger fans. And Tyler Matzek, I'm going to have to sit down and really think about this, about the best relief performances in a key situation.
It's never been done before, Sully. They say that's the first time that's ever been done.
He came in second and third, nobody out. They could have tied the game without a hit.
In the postseason, yeah.
Yeah, in the postseason, yeah. But second, third, nobody out with a ground ball to second and a deep fly ball could have tied the game. A single would have tied the game instantly. One of the batters they faced was Mookie Betts. And Matzek came in, the place was going bananas, and he struck out the side and then got the next three batters as well. The last nine batters the Dodgers put up there recorded outs. But I'm having a hard time remembering a relief performance at that key moment where if the Dodgers tied the game there, they're probably winning, and we're probably watching a baseball game tonight. Truthfully, we're recording on Sunday evening. And so what Matzek did, and Minter was great, and Smith was great as well. But what Matzek did was really one of the most terrific relief performances that I can remember watching in a postseason game.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. My only worry for him is that if his arm's going to fall off. He's pitched in every postseason game except for one. It was actually kind of a blessing in disguise. The Braves got blown out in game five. It gave him 2 days off with the travel day. But I mean, other than that, he's been used in every game. Now he's starting to go multiple innings, but he's been that good. He's been that dominant for the Braves.
All right, H-Town and Eric, you know, I obviously watched a lot of the, you know, I watched every pitch of the Red Sox Astros series, and I could tell you that it was the, Garcia was great, Framber Valdez was great. Was it Christian Javier? I mean, like, there's so many pitchers who just did the job well. What are your thoughts on the pitching staff as a whole going into this World Series?
Well, looking at the stats, I know the Braves in the playoffs have a 3.41 ERA. The Astros have a 4.50. But if you look at it, if you take away the two Grand Slam games, I'm pretty sure that they will be a little bit more comparable. As a math teacher, that's what I would be looking at. But the Astros have outslugged teams a little bit in the playoffs, definitely in the White Sox series, and definitely a little bit in the last couple of games versus the Red Sox. But the Astros have been relying on their bullpen. James Click went out, and he made some bargain bin trades at the trade deadline, bringing Yimi Garcia, then Phil Maton, and then a couple other guys, and these guys are getting it done. But Christian Javier was the big key to the last series, because in that game four, when Zach Greinke only was able to go Christian Javier, I know he didn't come in that inning, but he was able to be that bridge, so that way the Astros didn't have to burn the bullpen. And so the situation the Astros have had is they have a good bullpen. I would say that the Braves have maybe the better starters. They may be able to go deeper in games. And the Astros, I think, at this point would have the better bullpen. But if we see Framber Valdez do what he did against the Red Sox in second game, Luis Garcia go 5-6 innings, and Jose Urquidy, he's going to be the key. If he can go 5 innings, I think, and be effective, the Astros have a pretty good chance of winning the World Series. Now, the Zach Greinke game, that's going to be the big key, is how deep he can go. I know he pitched a simulated game. He threw 50 pitches today. That's probably the most he's thrown since he was on the IL, for two stints at the end of the season. That's why he's not in rotation. If you don't have him, maybe you throw Jake Odorizzi or somebody else in that situation. Maybe even Christian Javier, because he's looked great. But Javier's such a dominant weapon out of bullpen. So the Astros have rebuilt the bullpen, and this is why.
And this is one of the keys that I want to focus on Christian Javier, give him a lot of credit, because I have criticized the Astros all season long. I said, y'all are breaking this starting pitcher. Last year, he was a Rookie of the Year candidate as a starter. You throw him to the bullpen for whatever reason, and he has not been effective. During the regular season, he was abysmal. And sometimes players can't make that shift mentally. It doesn't mean they're not talented. It doesn't mean they don't have the stuff. But baseball is between the ears more than it is from the shoulder to the wrist. And so Javier, give him credit. Give Stromy credit. Give Murphy, all their pitching staff credit. Whatever they did to help him figure things out in the playoffs, he has come in and he's been nails, and he's wanted to be reliable. He's wanted to be that guy. And he just kept getting put in tough situation after tough situation. And those are the things that when the playoffs matter, it's the little things. It's the unsung heroes. It's not the superstars. It's the team. It's every pitcher. It's next man up. And that's what it takes to win a title. That's why I feel very, very confident going into this 2021 World Series.
It kind of reminds me of what El Duque Hernandez was when he pitched for the Yankees in the late 90s, early 2000s. If you look at his regular season stats, he was okay. Wasn't a bad pitcher. But he just a light flipped on. And there's so many instances, both out of the bullpen and as a starter, where he just, I know he killed the Red Sox in several series, and he just was someone who you wanted on the mound. And both Framber Valdez, who basically saved the Astros postseason in 2020 by that wonderful game out of the bullpen against Minnesota, and Christian Javier, save for one game against the Rays in last year's postseason, has been lights out against Oakland, against Tampa, against Chicago, against Boston, wherever you throw him. He had one bad game against the Rays. And so he's really a great weapon. And to talk about weapons, let's talk a little bit about the lineup. You can't bank on Eddie Rosario having the October of his life. So the Albies and the Freemans and the Swansons have to start picking it up.
Yeah, and that's true, but they also face probably the two best pitching staffs in all of baseball in their first two series. So, I mean, there's a lot of players in the Braves that have been struggling. You talked about Dansby Swanson. He's somebody that has to get going. Travis d'Arnaud is hurt right now. He is kind of an automatic out at this point. Those two guys are key at the bottom of the order. If they don't get going, there's going to be a big black hole at the bottom of the lineup. But other guys as well, I mean, Adam Duvall can get going. Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley are key. Riley had some big moments, but also kind of cooled off there in LA. So, you know, if those guys get going, get clicking as well. And the DH, I think, is going to help the Braves because they're going to be able to put Jorge Soler back in there as well. He missed 10 days, pretty much missed all of the NLCS because of COVID. So getting him back, he looked really good. And he had two at-bats since he came back, but he looked really good. And his last one was able to get a hit. So I think adding his bat to the lineup with the DH in Houston is just going to help that offense. So, yeah, I mean, there's guys there that have to step up. I mean, Rosario and Freeman pretty much carried them in that NLCS. So the rest of the lineup is going to have to pick things up because they are going to have to keep up with the scoring that the Astros are going to do.
All right, Eric in H-Town, same question for you about the lineup. I mean, we know, like, it's odd. Both Correa and Altuve didn't have overwhelming statistical series, and yet when they got hits, they were huge. And I think the home run by Altuve turned that series around. The Red Sox were going to be up 3-1 without that home run. And I know there was a blown third strike call, but you know, I said to Red Sox fans, it should not have been 2-2 in the ninth. There were so many lost opportunities. That being said, we also saw what Alvarez did. Huge hits from around, you know, he just was a one-man wrecking crew. Tell me what you think about who needs to step up and what you think about the Astros offense, which is probably the best in baseball.
You know, I was at that game one, where Jose Altuve turned that. I mean, well, where he untied the game. Before that, Carlos Correa shifted momentum in that game, because momentum exactly is definitely game to game. That is what it's going to take. Those guys, Altuve, Correa. I mean, they've got Yuli Gurriel. They've got Yordan Alvarez. They've got Kyle Tucker, who I think is one of the most underappreciated baseball players on the planet. The kid's swing is unbelievable. In the field, he's got a cannon of an arm. And I think the keys are just the Astros go and do what they do best. They don't go down striking out a lot. They are very disciplined with pitches off the plate. They can't chase out of the zone. And they have to trust their abilities, because if they let the Braves pitchers fool them off the plate, if they get in their head about an umpire that's maybe not calling it their way, then things can unravel. But it's baseball, and things can change on a dime, you know, in one pitch. And so I think the key is Altuve will get key hits. Bregman will have key hits. But watch Yordan Alvarez. Watch Kyle Tucker. Watch Yuli Gurriel. Those three, I think, are going to be your three brightest shining stars. And Chaz McCormick may come in there and sneak in and steal some headlines as well.
And Eric, what do you think about Michael Brantley? I mean, he's just a smart hitter in the lineup too. I mean, that's how deep the Astros lineup is. Is H-Town just rattle off a bunch of names? Oh yeah, Michael Brantley's there too. You know.
Well, yeah, and also it depends on, you want to get Alvarez, especially once the series shifts to Atlanta. You want there's no DH there, so luckily you have Alvarez, who's been playing a lot of left field this year. And I know that typically they played him against behind Valdez because he's a ground ball pitcher and he won't get a lot of experience out there, but you want him in the lineup, especially what he did against the Red Sox. You need this guy in the lineup. So how is that going to affect the whole lineup situation? I know this year we've seen Kyle Tucker play center field in those situations, but from what I've read, what's the field called?
Truist Park.
Yeah, Truist Park. But it's like the fifth biggest outfield in baseball, so it's a pretty big outfield, and that's to have a guy who doesn't normally play center field in Kyle Tucker playing there, then having Michael Brantley in right field, and then having Alvarez in the outfield, that may hamper the Astros defense, but that will get them the best offense out there. But going back to Michael Brantley, I know that he hasn't been at his best in this postseason yet. He's had some key hits, but at the same time, he's not blowing the cover off the ball, but he hasn't had to, because you have the young kids stepping up like Alvarez. You have some of the other guys stepping up, but I think especially if Alvarez does have to sit some people like Brantley need to step up and kind of cover for him.
Well, sometimes those are the most terrifying hitters are the ones who, you know, are very good hitters who didn't have a very good series. Cause you know, they're, you know, like, okay, now that they may be like, okay, I didn't do well against Chicago's pitching. I didn't do well against Boston's pitching. I'm going to see another bunch of pitchers and I can sort of, you know, hit reset. And maybe someone like Brantley needs a moment to sort of step back and kind of re-energize, hit reset. And if I were him, I'd grab a Built Bar because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. Now, do you guys have a favorite Built Bar flavor?
Cookies and cream.
I'd say the same.
I would say chocolate chip cookie dough, but yeah, I'm a big churro puff guy though.
Well, I've always described you as a big churro puff guy, but I'm holding right now. This is coconut brownie chunk, which sounds like a delicious Mad Lib. My personal favorite one is raspberry. I love the combination of the tangy raspberry and the chocolate. But if you ever tried all the flavors, you get a mixed box. You get two of each of the nine flavors. But guys, I want you all to be sitting down. These are not only great tasting, they're healthy too. What this one has, what has this got here? Only 150 calories on this one. It's got 18 grams of protein, 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Order today, get the grasshopper cookie or your churro thing or your this coconut brownie chunk, raspberry, whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what. That's so many great flavors. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which I think is pretty cool. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built Bar. BuiltBar.com.
Hey, Sully, can I clarify something real quick with Michael Brantley? He's actually batting in 311 on this series with the postseason, but his OPS is 667. He has had some key hits. That's why I was saying he has had big doubles. Like he had a big double in that, and I think it was game 4 or game 5 that kind of gave them a lead. So I'm not saying he struggled big time, but I just would like to see a little bit more power versus the singles hitter that we've seen.
That's but fun. You also know that he's going to be someone who keeps the rally moving. You know right. That some, he's going to be, you know, and he could explode, but you also know that he's just, it's important to have players like that.
Right.
You know, every championship team has players that have the ones that are the big, huge run producers, but also the ones that just keep it moving. Just let's keep it going. And I think that you're going to see, I don't know, we're in this here. We're going to talk a little bit about the X factors. I want to hear your predictions, but Jake, what do you think the one sort of X factor, the thing that could, you know, bounce here or there, could make or break the Braves' chances to win their first World Series title since David Justice homered off of Poole in game 6?
Yeah, 1995. It's been a while. We already talked about, you know, the starting pitching. I think that's the biggest X factor. How deep can Morton and Fried and Anderson go in these games and keep that Astros offense at bay and give the Braves offense time to go to work against, you know, their starters? Because I think the Braves will score. I think the Astros will score too. But I think the key is who can outscore in the early innings, you know, and that's typically the key in postseason baseball anyway, when you're using your best relievers every night at the back end of games, you know, who can get that early advantage. So I think that's going to be, you know, the biggest X factor is, can the Braves starters keep the Astros at bay long enough to give the Braves offense a chance to go to work and get a 2-3 run lead going into those late innings? Because as good as the Braves bullpen has been, Braves fans are too scarred by 31 one-run losses this year. They have lost a lot of close games, second most in all of baseball, which is why they remained under 500 for much of the year. So, again, as great as the bullpen has been, if you're a Braves fan and watching all year long, you know you still want that extra cushion going into late innings. But for me, the X factor is going to be those early innings for the Braves offense, trying to put up, you know, 4 or 5 runs early in the game. And we talked about it too. It's the bottom of that order that just hasn't gotten going, you know, whether it's been, you know, Duvall, Darnold, Swanson. If that bottom of the lineup can get going, turn it over for those guys at the top and Rosario and Albies and Freeman and Riley and set them up for RBI opportunities, then I think this team, I think the Braves will be just fine in this series.
All right, H-Town and Eric, same for you talking about the Astros X factor.
You know, I think the X factor kind of counters y'all's early scores, your early inning scoring, because we have had late inning scoring where we have scored one or two runs to start a game. We have come back. We actually have a postseason record now, and I don't know where the count stopped, but last I heard it was 36 two out runs this postseason, which is unbelievable. So when the Astros have two outs and it's the ninth inning, we still have opportunities. And so I think that's going to be the key. They have to continue to find a way to produce runs. The relief pitchers have to shove every time they're on the mound. They have to go out there and trust their stuff, not try to get too fancy. They've got to stay in the zone, and they've got to trust that Martin Maldonado, who's probably going to be behind the plate every game this series, that he's going to lead them. And he has been a key factor. That Kendall Graveman strike him out, and then Martin Maldonado threw him out. The Red Sox, I think that sunk the ship for them. They were on a charge. They were building momentum, and they cut it down. And so I think the X factor is late inning runs and Martin Maldonado.
And Eric, before I throw to you, I just want to say, whenever I've recapped any of the games on Locked On MLB this postseason involving Houston, I seem to constantly use the phrase, the game was a lot closer than the final score would indicate when it comes down to the Astros. Because it always seemed like, well, it was 4-2, but then they scored four runs in the – so it was like it sounded like a blow. Like, what, game four was 2-2 with two outs in the ninth inning, and the final score, it looked like they blew them out. No,
right.
The final score was close. It was misleading. I kept saying that phrase over and over again because the Astros, kept piling on. Eric, what do you think one of the X factors is here?
I already said the X factor. It's going to be Jose Urquidy. How mm-hmm. deep can he go? Especially, you want to save the bullpen, especially in the 7-game series. There's going to be a lot of, you can't go, you may not be able to go Christian Javier for 2-3 innings because of the no DH, especially in Atlanta. So that's something that you have to take consideration. So in game three, you definitely need him to go 5-6 innings. And he's going to probably have to bat a few times. We'll see how Dusty handles that situation. But I think that Urquidy has got to set a tone. So let's say the Astros split the first two games, then you definitely want to get that game three in Atlanta. I know Atlanta fans are going to be doing tomahawk chop and that whole, I did, that's the first time I guess I watched a Braves game yesterday, and I guess they turn the lights off and then do the whole phone chop or something. But it seems like it's a pretty cool atmosphere there. But I think the Astros seem to play well on the road, and they there's that one series I forgot, wasn't the Washington Nationals series where the road team won all the games, and so there's no such thing. I mean, sometimes there's a home field advantage, but there's sometimes not. But
it's overrated in baseball. It's really overrated in baseball, home field advantage, except for the walk-off situation. I wanted to just put in a quick final word before I get people's predictions here. I am, despite Astros Twitter hatred of me, I am an impartial observer on this particular World Series. I want a 7-game series. That's what I want. I want it to go down the wire. I want it to be a 7-game series. I want it to be thrilling games, much like the 1991 World Series, the single greatest World Series I ever saw in my life, where I was a sophomore in college watching that, and just sort of every game was just like an all-you-can-eat buffet of awesome. Now, I think that things for an impartial person, I know there's all the other narratives. There are things about the Astros that I think would be fun to see if they win. Not the least of which, Zach Greinke is one of my favorite people in baseball for a lot of different reasons, off the field and on the field. I've always admired him as a player and as a human being, what he means to some people, and his absolute bluntness. And I've always been a fan of his. He deserves a ring. Dusty Baker is one. If he wins the World Series, then I know a lot of sports writers' heads will explode when I say this sentence. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. What else does he have to do on his resume, especially with what a manager has become in 2021? What else does someone like Dusty Baker need to do? On the other hand, Freddie Freeman is one of the single most likable stars in all of baseball. I would feel badly for Ronald Acuna Jr., one of my favorite players in baseball, to have the Patrick Ewing theory take place as he goes down and they win. But I would feel great for Snitker and have it be a wonderful message that, you know what, sometimes you should hire a manager with some experience, even if it's minor league experience. It doesn't always have to be the best friend of the guy in the front office. It doesn't always have to be the Aaron Boones of the world who's like, yeah, I've never coached anywhere, but give me the car keys to a major franchise, as opposed to let's bring in someone who's who has served their time in the organization. And also Anthopoulos giving everyone a clinic of how to turn a mediocre team into a potential World Series champion. So there are a lot of narratives there, but I want the narratives to be on the field. I want seven great games. I want them to be tight. I want them to be walk-off games. And I want to not know the names of any of the umpires in any of the games.
Yes,
that would be heaven for me. So let's go around the horn here. Jake, what is your – I know everyone's going to be biased in their predictions, so I'll give you my unbiased prediction. Jake, tell me your prediction.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a very good series. I think these two teams match up pretty evenly. I think the offenses are pretty even. I'd give the Astros the edge. Obviously, they were one of the best offenses in all of baseball. I think the edge for the starting pitching would go towards the Braves, and I think the bullpens are very even. So I think these two teams match up very well. If the Braves can split the first two in Houston, I think they win at least two in Atlanta. I know y'all are just talking about home field advantage. The Braves have been very good at Truist Park this year, including two walk-offs to start off that Dodgers series in Truist Park. So I think home field advantage does mean a lot to them for a team that hasn't been to the World Series in 1999. Those fans are going to be geared up and ready for it. So if the Braves can split those two in Houston, I think they win at least two of three in Atlanta. And then I think it goes back to Houston. And this is where I think the experience for the Astros takes over. And this is my biggest concern with the Braves. Are they just happy to be here, or are they ready to punch their ticket? Because, I mean, this is a team that has been trying to get over that hump and get back to the World Series for so long. You know, of course, I know they want to win it. They're going to say all the right things. But mentally, have they been like, okay, we got over that hill. We're here. And are they just going to be, you know, happy with that? Or how mentally are they going to be into it to finish things off? But I certainly think they're capable of it, but I'm going to have to go with the Astros in seven because of their experience. They've been on this stage. I think this is another stepping block for the Braves, much like how they blew the 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year's NLCS. You know, they get over that this year. I think this is another kind of building block for them, and they come back and win it, you know, next year or the year after that, because they are still a very good young team that's going to be here for years to come. But if I had to make a prediction here, I'd go with the Astros mostly because of their experience.
Remember, they thought the Nationals were happy to be there, too, in 2019. Yep. Okay, let's go to Eric. Let's get your pick.
Well, I think this may be selfish, but I have tickets for Game 3 at home, so that would be Game 6. And so I think that the Astros would get it in Game 6. I would love to be there in that situation to be able to celebrate within that situation. But I just think that makes the most sense. I think that they'll probably maybe split the series at Minute Park, the first two games. And then I think the Astros would do the same thing they did in Boston. They'll win two of the games in Atlanta and then take care of business at home in Game 6. So I just think that's how I see it go in my head. And I know betonline.ag has the Astros odds of winning World Series as negative 135, which is so they favor the Astros to win the World Series as well. So I just want to throw it out there.
H-Town, who do you got?
Well, I've got the Astros in six, but I've got the Astros winning the first two, and I've got the Braves winning the next two, and then the Astros winning the next two. I think the Braves basically makes it look like they're stealing momentum, but the Astros don't leave town without a 3-2 lead, and they come back and clinch it to Game 6. And why I envy Eric now, because I got tickets to Game 2 and he got tickets to home Game 3. So great thinking on your part, Eric. But I don't think the Braves go without a fight. I think it's going to be a good series. I hope it's great baseball. I do hate that Ronald Acuna Jr. is not in this game, because he is a star that I've wanted to see play in person that I haven't been able to see. So best wishes to him. I know it sucks being on the sidelines. Yeah, Lance McCullers. And so, but yeah, I think it goes six. I think you might have a couple blowout games, but for the most part, it's going to come down to the bullpen and who can close out the game.
All right. I want Astros fans and Astros Twitter to listen to me very, very closely, because you've said bad words to me and I've said some bad words to you. Okay. I am picking the Houston Astros to win the 2021 World Series. And Eric, you're going to be mad at me. You wasted your money. I'm picking them in five. And I'll tell you why I'm picking them in five. I think we are going to say after a lot of the games, it was a lot closer than the final score indicated. I don't think the Braves have faced an offense like this. And I think that there's going to be some of those pitchers who may be a tiny, weeny bit gassed, and suddenly Correa hits a three-run bomb. And that 3-2 game becomes a 6-2 game. And I don't think, and I think that's going to happen more than once in this series. What I personally want is game seven to go 19 innings and have it be the fill in the blank game. And people walk around like, oh man,
hey,
I didn't expect that. That's what I want. What I think will happen is I just think, and again, Jake, don't take this the wrong way. This is not me. Believe me, this is not me as an Astros fan. This is me thinking, I just don't think the Braves have faced an offense this good. And I think that there's going to be a couple of games that are going to get away from them. I think the Braves are going to win a game at home. I think the Astros are going to win the first two games. Braves are going to win game three. Astros take care of business. And there's going to be like a 17-2 game, which would be 2-1 going into the ninth. You know, it's going to be one of those things happening.
If you look behind me on my wall, is the which Astros is the Astros jersey that I wore to that game. I still own that. Which to game? The 18 inning game.
Oh, okay.
So where the say. Astros that is a
The Chris Burke game.
Yes, the Chris Burke game. I wore that jersey to that game. That's how long I've had that jersey. So that's why I hung
up. We're coming full circle talking about Chris Burke at the beginning and the end here. So
that's right, man.
There you go.
Astros legend.
Hopefully it goes much differently this time. I'll say one thing to kind of counterpoint you, Sully. The Dodgers offense is pretty good as well. And the Braves held them down pretty well. I mean, they got MVPs hitting at the bottom of that lineup. So I get what you're saying. This is by far going to be the best offense the Braves face, but they face pretty good one in the Dodgers as well. And we're able to hold them down enough to win that series.
Jake, have you seen my predictions? I've basically clinched the World Series for the Braves.
Is that what you were doing? You're playing
no,
a little
no,
bit?
I swear yeah. I'm making my real
but,
pitch here.
But does Mr. 19, you know what, does he trump yours? Because he picked the Braves in six. I think he did.
Nightingale?
Mr. Nightingale. I think so.
Okay. Oh, great.
I think he picked the Braves in six.
Well, yeah, then the Braves.
Sorry, Jake.
The real question is that.
See, guys, we'll try again next year.
actually, I'm joking. That was a parody account. Dang it. Right. I couldn't.
Well, hey, everyone, by the way, I want to thank everyone for making Locked On MLB your first listen. We're available wherever you get podcasts for free. But I think you now know what your second and third listens are. I won't tell you which order you're supposed to listen to them. Hey, Jake, tell people where they can follow you and listen to your great show.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. I also write about the Braves over at tomahawktake.com. And obviously you can listen to us at Locked On_Braves on Twitter and Locked On Braves podcast.
And H-Town and Eric, you're regulars here in Locked On MLB. Tell people where they can follow you both individually and as a podcast.
All right. Well, you can find me at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. You also find us on, we are on YouTube and we are doing pretty well right now. And go ahead and give us a like, subscribe to us and make us your first listen every day, even before Sully. No, that's fine. I'm just kidding, Sully. But you can find my co-hosts at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter. And where else can you find you?
They can find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Let's go 21 World Series. Always Stros.
Always Stros. Well, there you go. I picked them, so I just doomed them. You can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods. And I'm on YouTube. I'm hoping to be a YouTube influencer just like H-Town and Eric are. We're at Locked On MLB on YouTube. And I'm your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. And hey, let's just talk about one other great show. Thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, some combination of Braves and Astros your second listen. And when you get to your fourth listen, make it Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Arab Light, another friend of the show, is a prospect encyclopedia. And he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Which Rays star will be traded to the Cardinals? We'll find out soon. It's free and available on all platforms. But hey, for everyone else, hey, thanks for listening. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun doing this with H-Town Wheelhouse, with Eric, with Jake, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. This has been Locked On MLB for the 25th day of 2021. Please call me Sullivan.